Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So you ease into your post Cinco de Mayo Sunday morning. Pardon me, as you can tell, I'm easing in. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm your funky host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is actually the funky one. He's picking out the music. He's running the show today. Got a lot of fun stuff ahead for you. Just put out an alert today. I don't know if it's officially on any alert system around, but somebody checked to see if Whit Merrifield was at Kauffman Stadium last night. Just wanted to check. Is he available to pinch hit that ninth inning last night? I guess not last night, yesterday afternoon. It was a midday game, I guess a twilight game yesterday.
Evening, I guess you could go with.
Yes, early evening by the time they got to the bottom of the ninth. Just, you know, was Whit Merrifield there? You have a uniform on? Have his spikes? Proper uniform attire? Nothing wrong. Might want to pinch hit him there with runners on first and third. Two outs. Actually, pinch hit him before that is what I meant to say. For, you know, do we need to make sure Ryan Goins gets his four at-bats? Is that where you got to make sure? Is it in the contract somewhere? Can't get him in? Oh, well. One of the things that frustrated me about last night's Royals game, yesterday's Royals game, is they lost 3-2 to the Tigers after winning the first two games of the series. So yet another chance today to win the series or split the series and not have a series win, which is neither here nor there, but you'd like to see them win a series at some point. So we got a good show lined up for you today. Coming up at 9:25, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com is going to join us. Chiefs rookie camp going on out at the Arrowhead practice facility. And there's... I'm not sure how you judge the performance of rookies at camp when they're not wearing pads and they're basically jogging around and they're lost because they don't know the playbook and they're just trying to get through the basics. How do you judge it? There was a undrafted free agent from Michigan who had two interceptions in the practice. Is that, what does that mean? Yeah, Jed Marshall's clapping. He's a Michigan fan. I don't know what it means, but Matt Derrick has been there covering the Chiefs rookie camp, and he writes for ChiefsDigest.com. And so he'll give us a look at, I would call it observations as opposed to judgments. Because you cannot judge the rookies over, what, a three-day period? No pads, they don't know the plays, they don't know what's going on. They're, you know, just trying to find out where the chow hall is. Yeah, I call it a chow hall, dining room, whatever. Trying to find out where the locker room is. They have enough space. They have their shoes. So it'll be observations from Chiefs rookie camp, not judgments. So that's at 9:25. At 10 o'clock, Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville will join us. He was out at the Kentucky Derby yesterday. And as I talked about yesterday on Sports Saturday, I don't know anything about horse racing. I don't pretend to know. I'm not going to come on a show and tell you I know about horse racing if I don't. Okay, just like we had Craig Cummings on yesterday to talk about boxing. I love boxing. I can't tell you much about it. I'm not an expert. I'm not Stephen St. John. Stephen St. John is your expert. He knows everything about boxing. I don't know that much, but I have guests on who know about it. So Andy Sweeney at 10 o'clock, and maybe we'll focus on the experience of the Derby. I, for one, have been told, I've never had a mint julep ever, but I have been told it's quite disgusting.
I was talking with people about that. Apparently, they're awful. And based
this is what I hear over and over.
Based off the description I've heard, it's just like muddled up mint over crushed ice and like bourbon. That's
bourbon,
all it
Kentucky
is.
Kentucky bourbon.
So, based off that, if you had like two of those, you're going to be bombed. And we were talking about this before the show. The thing started. I mean, it takes 90 seconds, first of all.
Right.
But they were out there at, like, noon pounding those things. The damn race didn't start until 5:30.
They were going through the crowd, and the race was sponsored by some
Wofford.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
something. Wolf.
I was going to say Waterford, but that's
no.
the Crystal. Something with a W. I poured a lot of money
Hang
into
on.
It. But they kept scanning the crowd, and people were. Not only had it been raining for, what, 18 straight hours, but people were just unable to stand up, and their eyes were spinning circles. And I'm like, okay, if you want to pay to go to Louisville during the busiest weekend of the entire year and just get bombed and not even notice that there's a race going on,
mm-hmm.
great. Good for you.
Woodford is what
Woodford, okay.
what it's called.
Well, free commercial for them because they didn't get enough yesterday. But if that's your goal, you know, if I'm going to go to the Kentucky Derby, okay, I'll admit it. I would have a good time, but I would not go there and get. I mean, there were people. They were doing during the pre-race show. The guy from NBC Sports, who's kind of he's the wacky guy they bring to sporting events. He was wearing like pink pants and. Like a teal colored shirt. They bring him to sporting events, and he does the sideline stories. Like, here's the vendor who sells the 9 foot long hot dogs. What's his story? You know, that's his gig, and he does a good job. Don't get me wrong, but they had they lined up three people, and they gave him where you have the horse on the stick like little kids have, and they pretend like they're riding a horse. He had three grown adults. Race like 10 feet towards the camera, and I looked at my kids and I'm like, one of these people's going down. It's muddy, it's slick, and they've had a few, and sure enough, one of them tumbled over. I maybe got hurt, I don't know. So we'll talk about some of the infield atmosphere and the stands and the things that surround the Kentucky Derby, the pageantry, the ridiculous hats, whatever. So that's at 10 o'clock. At 10:30, Connell McCourt is going to join us. Formerly the Irish intern. He actually works here now, but he used to be an intern. He's going to talk to us about Sporting KC. He was out at Children's Mercy last night, so that's at 10:30. At 11, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus talking Royals baseball. Maybe he can answer the question, where's Whit Merrifield? Why was he not pinch hitting in the ninth inning last night? And then at 11:30, Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri basketball star, Oak Park High School star, NBA scout, SEC Network analyst. We're going to talk NBA playoffs and two wild finishes last night that led to teams leading their series 3-0. We'll take a quick phone call from Rob on line two, who wants to talk a little derby there. It was pretty wild there, Rob, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yeah, a lot of rain.
Yes.
Heartbreaking losses. I'll go ahead and ride along with your why wasn't Whit in the game last night, but I had $100 bet on Good Magic at 9-1.
Okay.
And he just couldn't dig out of that mud yesterday. It was almost as heartbreaking as not seeing Merrifield hit last night.
Losing money is always worse. I will tell you that. And like I said, I don't know, you know, much about horse racing and the Derby and all that. I know I watch it every time because it's on. And Rob, I appreciate your phone call, but yeah, losing money always worse than your favorite baseball team losing a game. It's another reason why I don't bet on sports, because I wouldn't be very good at it. I don't quite understand how the odds work. Like there was some horse who was listed as like 8-5. I don't know what that means.
You don't know how to do math?
Well, I don't know what you get for what you bet, I guess.
Oh, I
so,
see.
Yeah,
I see what you're
yeah,
saying.
That's I don't know how it factors into the bet. So it's better that I stay away from it. I think I went to the Woodlands when I was 18 because I'm 18. It's legal. I can bet at the Woodlands. You win a race here and there. You lose a couple here and there. And it was, you know, $5 a pop. No big deal.
That's where we had when I was a freshman in college, we had our fraternity like recruitment party at the Woodlands.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how we got away with that, because the kids probably wouldn't have been 18 coming from high school. I don't know.
No. Well, if they were seniors, maybe.
Maybe, though.
Because I turned 18 about halfway through my senior year.
Yeah, I don't really know how we worked around that. But yeah. That was like 15 years ago, so probably statute of limitations has passed.
It's off. It's over. Can't get in trouble for that. So we'll talk Derby a little bit later in the show. Let's kind of roll into the Royals from yesterday. Not a thrilling game. Not an exciting game by any means. Royals lost 3-2 to the Tigers. Jason Hamill, I'll give him credit for this. And I had former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice on the show yesterday. He never gives pitchers credit for anything. It's either do your job or you either did your job or you didn't do your job. So I go a little bit the other way. Jason Hammel gave up all three Tigers runs in the first inning, and they were just ringing doubles off Hammel. Just boom, boom, boom. And you're thinking, oh my Lord, this is going to be a long day. This is going to be a 15-2 final. Jason Hamill's ERA is going to go up to 9. And Jason Hammel settled down. He got it together, which is what you expect a veteran pitcher to do. A guy who's won 15 games in the show in a season. And he goes the next 5 2/3 scoreless with 5 strikeouts. So he wrestled it back. He kept the game under control. Kept the Royals in it. And the Royals offense went kerflooey again, as in not much. Almonte, another home run. Got a solo home run in the 6th. Alex Gordon drove in Lucas Duda in the 9th, bottom of the 9th. So it's 3-2 bottom of the 9th, right? 3-2, bottom of the 9th. Alex Gordon on second base with one out. Chance to tie. Get this to extras, okay? Ryan Goins comes up to the plate. Sure, Ryan Goins is a nice kid. I'm sure he is. He's a 220 hitter in the major leagues. He does enough defensively not to ruin everything, and that's not really what you want in a second baseman, okay? Whit Merrifield is a much better fielder at second base and a much better hitter. So, one out, 3-2 ball game, bottom of the 9th, Alex Gordon on second base. Ryan Goins up in the on-deck circle. I'm looking down the dugout thinking, Whit Merrifield hasn't played yet. I'll bet Whit Merrifield would love to play right now. I'll bet Whit Merrifield would love to be in this game with a chance to drive in Alex Gordon and tie this ball game. Bet he's there. I bet he's still on the roster. You know, they made a roster move last week. Brought up Jason Adam, the pitcher from Blue Valley Northwest High School. Whit Merrifield's still there, though. Why is Whit Merrifield not in this game? Okay, so you're going to look in the box score and see that, well, Ryan Goins did get a single and moved Alex Gordon to third. Somebody tweeted out, I think it was David Leske, who's going to be on later in the show, the exit velocity on Ryan Goins' contact with the ball was like 77 miles an hour and traveled, what, about 30 feet, 20 feet? So in the box score, it's a single that moves the runner to third. Wasn't much. Ryan Goins was not going to drive the baseball. Whit Merrifield would give you a chance to drive the baseball. Okay, Whit Merrifield, they gave him the day off. Okay, managers like to do that. We got to give a guy a day off. Okay, day off. It's the bottom of the 9th. You need a run. It's a good time to call in the guy early. Get him ready. I'll bet Whit Merrifield was down in that tunnel taking swings, getting ready. I'll bet he was. Don't know that for sure because I wasn't at the ballpark. I couldn't ask him. But I'll bet he was getting ready. Don't really understand why Merrifield wasn't in there. So then it's first and third, and it was two outs, pardon me, not one out. And then John Jay comes up and strikes out, and John Jay's season is quickly going downhill, which David Leske is going to talk with us about because he doesn't understand what's happening with John Jay. Because his season started off pretty good. He was getting on base at a pretty good clip, a decent clip. And then all of a sudden, he's falling off a cliff. John Jay strikes out, game over. Still scratching my head about Whit Merrifield. The positives, other than Almonte's home run, Jason Hammel settling down after giving up 3 runs in the first, was nice to shove for another 5 2/3, keep your team in the game. Jason Adam, great, great story. Blue Valley Northwest kid, and in my... former job at Metro Sports Television, we covered a ton of high school sports. Covered Jason Adam when he was at Blue Valley Northwest. Gets drafted by the Royals in the 5th round in 2010. So that's quite a while ago in baseball life terms. 2010, 5th round pick. 2014, the Royals need a bat as they're heading to the playoffs. They need a power bat. They trade Jason Adam to the Minnesota Twins to get Josh Willingham. And Jason Adam, I'm sure, was crushed because he was looking forward to playing for his hometown team. It happens. David Cohen got traded twice. Not once. Twice. Kid from Rockhurst High School, my alma mater. Hometown kids love to play for their hometown teams. At least a lot of them do. So Adam gets traded to Minnesota. He has a series of injuries. Eventually ends up in the Padres organization last year, still battling injuries. The past offseason, Royals made a deal. Let's bring Jason Adam back. Let's see if he's got something left in the tank. I believe he's had three surgeries since he left the Royals. Started out in Double A this year, knocking him dead. And after like 2 weeks, it was like, he's too good for this. Got to be up in Triple A. Again, knocking him dead for 2 weeks. 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Well, we don't exactly have an abundance of greatness in the Royals bullpen, all right? Jason Adam was tapping 98 miles an hour on the radar gun, despite the injuries, sitting guys down, racking up strikeouts, not walking guys. I think he walked a couple of guys. Not many. So the Royals gave the hometown kid a chance. Called him up. Didn't play Friday. I believe he pitched two innings in Omaha Thursday night, so I'm betting he wasn't available Friday. Gets in yesterday in the top of the ninth. Royals are down 3-1. Just hold the line. Hold the line, Jason Adam. Keep your hometown team in the ballgame. Did a really nice job. Did allow a guy to get on base. Runner tried to steal second. Salvi gunned him down. And the reaction from Jason Adam was just awesome. As you know, he's been watching the Royals through the playoff runs. Even after he got traded, I'll bet he was back in town visiting his family, watched the playoff runs, knows all about Salvador Perez. I mean, who doesn't? If you're a pitcher in the major leagues, you got to know who he is. And his reaction was just awesome. Just enthusiastic, fist pumping, awesome. They take the ball out, save it for him, and he gets out of it. No damage done. Perfect scoreless, not perfect. It was a scoreless ninth inning, but perfect for what you wanted from Jason Adam. So there's your good story from the game. And hopefully this leads to Jason Adam being in the major leagues for a while. Him and his wife were supposed to go shopping for a baby stroller in Omaha the day he got the call-up. They had to put it off. Imagine how life-changing it is. Not only are you getting called up to your childhood hometown baseball team, you're getting the call-up, your life changes. Because the Major League minimum salary in Major League Baseball, about $560,000. Get that prorated. You're not riding buses all the time. You're flying private jets, charter jets, I guess I should say. Charter jets, five-star hotels. The money you get on the road for meal money is ridiculous. Jason Adam, his life is going to change if he can extend this time in Kansas City. And it's a great, great story. So congratulations to Jason Adam. We're going to talk more about that with David Leske coming up at 11 o'clock. NBA last night. If you got a chance to watch the NBA after the Derby was over, two wild, absolutely wild finishes in the NBA, which is why we're going to have Jarrett Sutton on at 11:30 to talk about it. Because we had a lot of people in Kansas City like to talk NBA. I think a lot of people like me who are my age, who came up with the Bird and Magic era and then morphed into the Jordan era. And then I think a lot of us got away from it. There was a down period where there wasn't a compelling story for people my age. I'm back into it. And a lot of it is driven by my kids' interest in it. I love it. I mean, tell me who you don't want to watch. LeBron James, Steph Curry, James Harden, Jason Tatum, the way he's playing right now for the Celtics. Joel Embiid, despite the gaffes yesterday. Tell me a player you don't want to watch. A star player you don't want to watch. Not many. It's a compelling story. So anyway, so we'll start with the LeBron James game real quick. Tie ball game, 103-103. Final possession of the game. Jed, you know who the ball's going to, right?
I did, yes.
Yes.
I thought it was awesome that Tyronn Lue didn't call a timeout and just put the ball in LeBron James' hand.
Let him play.
Well, being in the backcourt, and I was talking about this actually with some people before the show, being in the backcourt, they didn't have a chance to double-team him, so he was able to get down the court and get I don't know, space and get to where he wanted to go.
Right.
But that shot that he made is unbelievable. I've never seen LeBron do anything like that. So the fact that he did it to win the game, unreal.
Yeah. And it was high off the glass, and his momentum was carrying him probably toward the baseline, and the glass. And the Raptors never got the double team to him.
No.
No one ever came over to get on the block or anything.
Well,
it happened too fast. He was too fast.
And you hear so many people talk about how they don't play defense in the NBA. That was awesome defense. There was nothing that they could have done. LeBron James, like you said, is the fastest guy in the NBA. He's also arguably one of the strongest at 6'8 and 260. He gets where he wants on the court whenever he wants. It was unreal.
Yeah. High off the window. Goes in. They win the game. And now the series is 3-0. And I'm really disappointed with the Raptors. I thought they were better than this. I mean, it's hard to say you're better than LeBron James and the Cavs, but I thought they would. I didn't think they'd be down 3-0. Chance to get swept. I really didn't.
Well, I probably shouldn't do any bragging about my picks since they're garbage, but I did think that the Cavs would have a pretty easy time with the Raptors.
Did it? Well,
they just always handle them. The Raptors might get one, but
and that's what, like 12 straight playoff wins over the Raptors or something.
They have the Raptors numbers.
Yeah,
it's very Chiefs Steelers.
Oh. You had to go
bring
there.
Everyone down.
You had to go there.
Yeah, I did.
Cinco
it's a beautiful Sunday. I'm ruining everyone's day.
Cinco de Mayo recovery day, and we're talking about the Chiefs and Steelers. And LeBron ended up with 38 points. Just awesome again. And by the way, Kevin Love set a great midcourt screen on that drive, too. For as much as some people like to bag on Kevin Love.
Kevin Love had a good night last
night. Yeah, he's been terrific. Not in the first series. He had a couple of down games in that first series they had. But The Cavs are up 3-0. One more, and then we got to take a break. Philadelphia 76ers, you're boneheads. I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's the youth. They don't have enough leadership, even though they have J.J. Redick out there on the court. He threw the ball away.
Yeah, J.J. Redick's a turd, though.
Wow! Coming in hot, Jed Marshall.
Like, I mean, I've never liked him. Okay. Ever since he was at Duke. He's a punk.
He throws a ball away because Ben Simmons doesn't, I guess, understand that the ball is supposed to go to him, and he takes off on a break and doesn't turn around, and it goes right behind his ass and thrown away. And then, so the Sixers come down, down two, make a shot. They think it's a three to win the game. The confetti cannons go off, and the head coach says, yeah, I left the court. I thought we won the game. Really? You don't want to wait till they double-check your game-winning shot because they're going to do that.
No, in the NBA, going to the monitor? I doubt it. I've never seen them do that.
Every shot, it seems like. So the coach is gone. Confetti's on the floor. Sixers are celebrating. Photographers are out on the floor taking pictures. They're going to hang on the wall in the lobby. Referee says, no, that's a two. We're only tied. Then it's delayed because they got to clean up the floor. Somebody's going to get either fired or something over that. Somebody who's undeserving of getting fired will get fired, probably. So they go to overtime, and Al Horford just takes over. I love Al Horford. Was he on both national championship teams at Florida?
Ooh, I'll look it up.
Because there were some guys who were on both, and one or two that were only on one. But I think he was on both those national championship teams at Florida. So he's a winner. He's a winner. And I love watching Al Horford play. So the Celtics going.
He was on back-to-back.
He was on the back-to-back. Okay. Sometimes there was like one guy on that team that went to the NBA after the first one, and then a couple, three that were there for both. But so the Celtics take a 3-0 series lead, and the games are compelling, but the series overall are not. All right. On that note, we will take a quick timeout here on Sports Sunday. When we come back, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, will join us, talk about rookie camp and what his observations are. That's next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. If not for yourself, then those around who care like I do. One day you'll see the clear blue.
That's how we roll on Sports Sunday. Nice and relaxed and easy. It's another I can't say this enough. Just a gorgeous spring day once again. There's a little breeze. We got Jed Marshall pop the studio door open, so we got the breeze coming through here. My name is Brad Porter, by the way, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joining us now in studio, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. You made your television debut last week, right?
My Sunday sound-off debut.
Sunday
yeah,
sound-off.
And everything, yeah.
Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News. How did you like doing the TV? I did TV for 20 years, and I loved it. So, and I've been on Sunday sound-off, but how'd you like it?
It stuck to the tape, you know, so they didn't have to cancel the show, you know, pretend there was a fire alarm or anything. No, I started out in TV. I was a broadcast.
Oh, you and I worked together in TV for a while.
I was a broadcast journalism major at Missouri. So there's people who have watched Channel 8 in mid-Missouri have some zero memories of my excellent award-winning journalism.
Right.
It was quite unmemorable, I'm sure.
Well, I like our career paths for both of us have taken dynamic shifts in the last few years. After doing TV for 20 years, our former company decided to have a massive round of layoffs, which is fine. No hard feelings on my part.
Whatever they want to do.
It's a business. It's the way it is. I still love all the people I work with and all that. So I'm doing weekends here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, which I love. I love everybody here. But you have you were at the cable company. You were in photography and public relations.
I had my own PR company. Yeah.
And then started writing about the Chiefs. And like so many people in this industry, you created a career for yourself with ChiefsDigest.com.
And I certainly had some help from my predecessor, Herbie Teope, another coworker of ours.
Who now just got another big job
at the NFL Network.
NFL Network.
Yeah, he's a big wig there. So, yeah, Herbie had a blog that was just his own personal blog.
Right.
And in 2013, we had a chance to start working with USA Today and providing them content. So on Herbie's sofa, we launched Chiefs Digest while watching actually the Missouri game when Henry Josie broke off a 68-yard touchdown in his comeback game and everything. So, yeah, that's when we launched Chiefs Digest.
And it's
been a ride since then.
It's an unsettling business right now. And if you can create something for yourself and be your own boss, that is definitely the way to go. I mean, we talked with Seth Kaiser yesterday, who was writing for Arrowhead Pride, and now he's writing for The Athletic KC.
It's amazing, absolutely.
He's created a cottage business for himself, breaking down video. And Nick Jacobs at 41 Action News, who I work with at Metro Sports, he's kind of created a niche for himself and does a lot of blogs for 41 Action News.
He's written for us, too.
Yeah, just good stuff. All right, rookie minicamp. I'll say this. We don't know anything, right, about these guys. Let's be honest about it.
No, we don't.
We don't know anything by 2 or 3 days of evaluation. But we can observe, correct?
Absolutely.
We can give our observations. Yeah. So if you want to start with a couple of the upper-end draft picks or a couple of guys that stood out to you, give us your observations of what you've seen at Chiefs rookie camp.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you have to take anything you see with a grain of salt.
Correct,
You've got 68 guys out here. And 6 of them were draft picks. 14 more are, college free agents. There's about 5 or 6 guys who are second-round players like Marcus Kemp, Garrett Dieter, guys who've been around that are eligible for the minicamp, so they're out there. And then there's like 43 guys who are tryout guys. And they're going to be going around from team to team, for the next couple of weeks, kind of trying to just get some tape and then prove that they can play and everything. So that's what your competition really is. But, I mean, if you want to just be able to feel good about something, Breland Speaks yesterday made you feel good.
That's very comforting to hear because the knee-jerk reaction was, the Chiefs reached on him.
Exactly.
And my thought was, if Brett Veach really wants this guy, then go get him. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think yesterday, like I said, you're going up against competition that it's not the same thing he's going to see later on. But he was beating that competition, which you got to do in the first step. I mean, and he looked really good. And you saw you can start to see really the sales job that Brett Veach is giving us on Breland Speaks. You can see why he feels the way he does. Because I think that, traditionally we think of the Chiefs and, in this 3-4 setup and everything, you're thinking about the way that they use their outside backers. They end up dropping back in coverage a lot. They play the run a lot. They're asked to do a lot of things. And the way they're talking about using Breland Speaks is asking him just to rush the passer. And that's what he did yesterday. And he did it quite well. I mean, I don't think anyone that he matched up with on either side, any of the tackles, I don't think they ever laid a hand on him. I mean, his first step was enough to get past every single one of them. Had a motor. I mean, he was chasing guys, you know, chasing the quarterback all over the field, screaming. You know, there was some emotion out there. So, yeah, I mean, I think that for a first day of seeing Braylon Speaks, it was everything you could hope for.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. By the way, follow him on Twitter, at Matt Derrick, traditional spelling for both.
Exactly. Just like Derek Nottie, Derek Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Talking about Chiefs rookie camp that's going on at the Arrowhead practice facility. And I'm glad you said that about Breland Speaks, that he was vocal and he was emotional, because sometimes when you come in, you don't understand the change that's about to happen. You went from, when you're a college player, I just want to play. I want to beat out my competition for playing time. Now you're fighting for a job, and it's real. And
oh, yeah.
Your second-round pick is going to make the team unless, you know, something drastic happened. But he's fighting for it, and he's going to have to fight the 40-something guys that are out there this weekend. They're all fighting right now.
Yeah,
and I like that. Exactly. I like that you said that he was verbal and emotional and got after it.
And you could see that, it certainly, I mean, in all of the draft picks. I mean, you could certainly see that. And I'll tell you what, I mean, the other thing that, you know, getting to talk to a few of them yesterday is that they feel a real bond. I mean, there is really a sense of, hey, you know, the five of us on defense were brought in to bring some life and to bring some toughness into this defense, and that's what we're supposed to do. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they not only feel the bond that it's them rallying together, that they are a crew that's, you know, been brought in here to do a mission, but also that, you know, I mean, they understand it. They understand that they're supposed to be coming in here. They're supposed to be bringing some fire, and they're doing it right now. So far, what we've seen in day one, they're doing it.
And you mentioned getting something on tape. Every step you take on a practice field in the National Football League is taped. So
oh, yes.
If you're loafing, or as my coaches used to say, if you're half-assing it out there, they're going to find out. And you noted, I was reading your article from yesterday about the camp, you noticed, you noticed the physicality of yeah. these guys. And that's something Brett Veach talked about. That lost to Tennessee in the playoff game, and that 9.5-minute drive that Tennessee went on, he said, we weren't tough.
Right.
And it sucked. And his mission was to get guys who were going to go out there and kick some ass.
Yeah. And like I said, they those guys get it. I mean, they understand. I mean, you know Breland Speaks even said specifically, you know, that I understand that's why they picked me. They think I'm tough, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm here. And all these guys can really kind of get that and everything. They understand that. So, I mean, as far as, you know, fitting in with what the Chiefs want to do, after day one and what you're hearing and what you're seeing, they really nailed it, at least, you know, with the first few picks and everything.
You noted that Derek Nottie is clearly the strongest kid in this class. I'll read off the numbers from your article here. He's 6'2", 316. Okay, that's just the measurement. Squats 750 pounds. That's almost squatting a small car.
Yeah.
And bench pressing 525.
Yeah,
which is like bench pressing an engine block. That's incredible.
Yeah, he was asked, you know, people said you were the strongest guy at Florida State. He just cut it off and said, I was. There was just no doubt about that. I mean, he met him to make sure, yeah, there's no doubt. I was definitely the biggest guy, toughest guy at Florida State. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, you can definitely see it. I mean, there's some big, tough, strong guys that they brought in here and everything like that. And Derek Nottie, I think people are going to be really impressed. I mean, I feel like he's maybe a little bit overlooked as far as his draft class goes. But his strength is, I'm really intrigued to see it in the middle, because I think this is a piece that I'm not sure that you've really seen. And, you know, even you go back to Dontari Poe and Mike DeVito and these kind of guys, I think he has another level of strength. I mean, it's really just going to be, you know, does he have the technique? Does he have the fundamentals? And he seems to understand that. I mean, he seems, you know, he was talking about, just as far as the defensive line play goes yesterday, and really talking about how that's where the game's decided, you know, and that's where the big guys are and everything. And he's like, it's got to be about technique. And, you know, he feels that he's got that. And if he can continue to improve, I mean, I think the Chiefs have got a really, really strong pick there.
Yeah, the technique is so big for these rookies, because in college, you can dominate on brute strength.
Exactly.
You can dominate on speed. You can dominate on natural gifted talent.
Yep.
But technique in the NFL is going to win, because if you're going to step the wrong way, line up 2 inches the wrong way, your opponent's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Not literally, but you know what I'm saying.
And you can see that in the mini camp. I mean, you can see, you know, which players have that, just that first step, which ones have the best technique. You know, you're going to see, you know, some guys who are just left behind. You know, they've got to hold on every single play. They've got to, you know, get their hands on some guys to just keep them from getting around them all the time. I mean, it's, you can see that in just even brief stretches on, in minicamp.
All right, Dorian O'Daniel. And he's every his name is going to get messed up 15
Absolutely.
Ways. He's going to be
I massacre it all the time.
He's going to be O'Daniels. He's going to be O'Neill.
Daniel O'Dorian.
Daniel O'Dorian. Yeah, they're going to mispronounce his name 17 different ways. So Dorian O'Daniel. Chiefs need linebackers, obviously. And that's a kid they really like. Your initial observations of Dorian O'Daniel from rookie camp for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the speed. You really could see it yesterday, you know, the aggression, the hustle and everything. He was definitely getting some attention from the coaches. We were over there on the sideline where they were running through linebacker drills. And this is to be expected during minicamp. I mean, that's the way that it works. If you're a draft pick, you're getting the attention. You know, so you know, they were really, you know, everything was focused around him and his – in that position group, because they're working with the inside linebackers. So, you know, that's where the focus is going to be. But you can, I mean, once again, you see it. I mean, even when we get a chance to talk to him and everything, you know, this is a really outgoing, smart guy and everything. You know, he talked about his relationship with Kendall Fuller. You know, they went to high school together, mm-hmm. best friends and everything. And personality-wise, it's just like Kendall. I mean, just incredibly outgoing. Talks a while a minute, which I don't mind. It's more content,
good
for
content
for us.
Yes.
Exactly. you know, so, yeah, but we still saw some flashes and everything. I mean, I think it's a little bit tougher for positions like that because, and we're still going to try to figure out exactly how the Chiefs are going to use him, you know, in mini camp. You know, he's playing more of a will position, which that's not going to be, you know, probably exactly what he does. Because, you know, the real Chiefs are really talking about using him as more of a, you know, a nickel and a dime linebacker. But you can see, I mean, as far as the size goes, as far as the speed goes, I mean, he certainly fits with that package of what they're looking for. I mean, you can see on the field yesterday.
Maybe the most, by the way, we're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Rookie camp is going on this weekend at the Arrowhead practice facility. I think the most analyzed player the Chiefs drafted is the fifth-round safety from Texas A&M, Armani...
Watts.
Golly, I just blanked on that. I've read so many names. Armani Watts has been the most analyzed player, I think, because second and third-round guys, okay, they're going to be on the team. Fifth round is where you get a little, you know, you still have to prove a little something. You're probably going to make it, but you still got to prove it. So the initial reports out of the film study on him is speed guy, good in coverage, very hard hitter, doesn't wrap up.
Yeah.
And look, we've been down this road before with players who don't wrap up, and it's something you have to get better at this level. And if you're a safety, you better be able to, because you're going to have to be a catch guys on the run and be a run stuffer at the line at times if you're coming up on a blitz or a run blitz. So Armani Watts, what did you observe from him yesterday at rookie camp?
Yeah, I mean, you know, safety is definitely one of the, I think, to me at least, one of the more difficult positions to judge in minicamp because, you know, you're not hit.
You're not hitting. You're not tackling.
So, and the one thing that we need to see him do is tackle, which they don't do. So that's a little tough. But I was impressed with seeing him and everything about his instincts and the way that he reacted to plays. He always seemed to be around the ball. I mean, he was making good movements. He was heading in the right directions. You know, we didn't get to see a whole lot of coverage. There wasn't a whole lot of deep passing yesterday, and most of the deep passing that we saw was not exactly on target. So, you know, a little bit difficult in that regard. But, you know, once again, I mean, you saw at least the rudimentary skills. I mean, mm-hmm. you could see the speed. You saw the instincts that you saw on tape and everything mm-hmm. like that. But you're right. I mean, the big question is going to be, you know, if he can – and he knows it. He's talked about the fact that tackling is the number one thing he needs to work on. If he can add that to his package, that's why he's a fourth-round pick instead of a, you know, second-round pick. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that question mark that's out there.
In terms of you didn't see a lot of coverage yesterday, so you probably maybe didn't – I was going to ask you about the corner from Central Arkansas as well.
Draymond Smith.
So you probably didn't see a lot of coverage, but it's everybody that's seen him in college or scouted him said he's a natural ball hawk.
Yeah, and you could see out there. I mean, mm-hmm. yesterday he moved really well. I mean, you could see it and everything like this. You know, some tight coverage and everything. You know, I think he got his hands on a couple of passes, just deflections. I didn't see any interceptions. He may have had one, but I just missed it. But no, I mean, you actually saw some pretty tight coverage from the defense yesterday and a couple of different guys. You know, even some of the undrafted guys made some good plays and everything. So I think that was as far as this minicamp goes. I think it's a fairly deep position for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And Smith looked good. I mean, you could definitely tell him, you know, from everybody else and everything. So I we'll need to see more. I mean, it's corners, one of those positions you really need to see the physicality, you really need to see the pads and everything to see how they do. But I'd say first day, I think you got to be positive with what you saw.
All right, we got a few more questions for you. We're coming up on a timeout here. I'm going to ask you about Reggie McKenzie. Can you stay?
I can stick around.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll keep you for a couple extra minutes. I'm going to ask you about an undrafted free agent linebacker from Iowa, because I watch a lot of Iowa football, and I think the kid's great. Quarterback from Marshall who put up huge numbers, but I don't know what quarterback at Marshall means in an NFL level. And we'll ask you about Sean McKenzie, the defensive lineman turned offensive lineman who's the son of the Raiders GM, which is a funny story. So ask you about those three guys. We're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. We're talking Chiefs running camp. It is a running camp.
It's running. That's for sure.
It's functioning. We're talking Chiefs rookie camp. You're listening to Sports Sunday. I'm Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Another absolutely picture-perfect spring morning across Kansas City and the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show today, and our guest until the top of the hour is Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. We're talking Chiefs rookie camp that's going on right now at the Chiefs practice facility. You're on your way there, what, in right after this?
After this, I'll head over there.
Heading right out. So let's ask you about a couple of more players from the Chiefs draft, as well as some rookie free agents. The kid who got drafted, he was a defensive lineman. They wanted to play offensive lineman. He is the son of the Raiders general manager, which I think is hilarious in so many different kinds of ways. But initial reaction, everybody feels he could play offensive line. He had a number of teams talk to him about it. But initial one-day observation.
Yeah, Khalil McKenzie, you know what we were told.
I think I called him Rashad McKenzie, but it's Khalil McKenzie.
What we were told going in is that when you see this guy, you know, the legs are what's going to stand out. And oh my goodness, those things are tree trunks. Those are the biggest legs I've ever seen. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday and said, hey, you know, from the waist up, it looks like a normal football player.
Right.
You can see, I mean, big old strong arms, you know, strong chest and everything. You know, typical size, height, and everything. Waist down, I mean, those legs are just ridiculous. I'm not sure I've seen anybody in the league with legs like that.
I would say, of all the Chiefs I've covered over the years, Dan Saliamua might have the biggest legs.
He might be in the ballpark.
And
yeah,
Chester McLaughlin
really
was
Chester
pretty big.
Chester had some big
yeah,
ones, too.
He was kind of a turd with the Chiefs, but...
But you can see, I mean, you know, and what we can see, you know, and I was watching one, and they had him at left guard for the most part yesterday, which, you know, I mean, obviously a position of need for the Chiefs down the road. So I think that's where you want to see him. But, yeah, you can see why, you know, instinctively that they think that he can take this position. I mean, he's got the legs and that lower body strength really gives him the opportunity to really have a firm base and everything. And the scouting report on him is that he's got good hands. He plays really tight. You know, he's a headsy player and everything. So, you know, I mean, had you told me that he never played offensive line yesterday, or at least not since high school when I saw him yesterday, I never would have believed it. I mean, he looked smooth. I mean, he looked the part and everything.
That's good. That's very good to hear, especially since they traded 2 7-round picks to move up to 6 to get him. 6-round pick may not jump off the board at you, but if you're making that kind of move, you must believe he's got a little something instead of getting 2 other players. A couple of undrafted free agents I wanted to ask you about. I'm always going
to
ask about Iowa guys because
I'm an
Iowa fan. I was so crushed that they did not draft Josh Jackson, the cornerback from Iowa, because he led the nation to interceptions.
Close. He almost got there.
They took him one pick before the Chiefs, and I was screaming, oh, my gosh, they could have had Josh Jackson, but no. That's okay. He'll have a good career, and I'll be disappointed every time I see him not in a Chiefs jersey. But Ben Neiman, the linebacker out of Iowa, he was paired. His linebacking partner at Iowa was drafted in like the 3rd or 4th round, and Iowa produces solid football players. They're a well-coached. Kirk Ferentz and his staff over the years just turn out NFL players that are disciplined, that are well-trained, and they come in and play. That doesn't mean Ben Neiman can play at this level. I don't know, but he's going to have a chance, and he played well at Iowa. He's a good player. He started 39 games, I believe.
Yeah, and he is one of the 14 young players that they actually signed two contracts. Mm-hmm. So he's actually on the roster, which gives you a really good indication about how they what they feel the Chiefs feel about him as a player and everything. He's not just here to try out. He's on the team, and was out there running with the first team defense. For a first day, I think you have to like what you saw. I mean, I saw his name quite a bit and everything. I saw the back of the jersey with it flashing around and around the ball and everything. I think he got a tip of the pass at one point.
There we go.
Yeah.
Go Iowa.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to like what you saw on the first day. I mean, he was definitely showed some, speed and the instincts for the ball. He seemed to be around a lot of plays.
I know a lot of listeners in our listening audience are interested probably in Byron Pringle. I liked him at K-State. I think he's a good receiver. He had off-the-field issues, which everybody knows about. He's an older player, probably at least a year, if not 2 years older than most of the other rookies. So his timeline to play in the National Football League is not going to be as long, but a good football player to bring in and take a look.
Yeah, absolutely.
See what you got.
And you could see the quickness. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really saw that on the field yesterday. And he's at a position where, like I said, the Chiefs brought in a couple of guys, Marcus Kemp and Gary Dieter, who were on the team last year, that they really liked these guys. And they showed some definite moments working with Patrick Mahomes last year. And I'll tell you what, Pringle, as far as, targets go and catches, was right up there with him, if not ahead of him. I mean, some of the quick outs, you could definitely see his speed, his route running, breaking ability. It's there. They did take a few shots at him downfield. I think he had one catch, but it's so difficult with rookie minicamp and the quarterbacks and accuracy and just the plays in general. The offense is going to be behind the defense, especially on day one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looked pretty good. I heard he had some drops on in some the punt drills and everything. I didn't get to see that. I was watching.
Yeah, because that would be his other way onto the team. Would be a special teamer.
Yeah, but they obviously they're looking at him there. I mean, so if he can step it up there, if he can show that he can play special teams, and he showed the speed that he showed yesterday consistently and with the hands, you gotta like his chances. I mean, there's a spot on this team for a receiver and a kick returner.
Another undrafted free agent I want to ask about. They signed a couple of quarterbacks. A kid from Indiana whose numbers are just awful, but Indiana's awful. I wouldn't expect a quarterback at Indiana not named Trent Green to put up any numbers. But the kid that's kind of caught the attention of a lot of folks, including myself, is Chase Litton, a kid from Marshall. He's got the size, 6'5", 230, yep. And put up huge numbers at Marshall. I don't know what that means because the competition is obviously not Big 12, SEC, Big 10, Pac-12, whatever. But I'll be interested to see if he finds a way onto the practice squad or maybe even knock out a Chad Henning or a Matt McGloin for a third spot, a number three quarterback. I don't know.
Yeah, I heard mentioned yesterday. I think it's probably a pretty fair comparison, and Chiefs fans will probably cringe when they hear this comparison, but it was Tyler Bray. That he looks a lot like. I mean, they got similar size. He's got good arm strength.
I think we all know the reason Tyler Bray is not having success in the NFL. And it doesn't have a lot to do with his arm or anything like that. I'll just leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
Yeah.
But, Tyler Bray stuck around 5 years as a backup quarterback.
Yes. He's making money, not getting hit.
Yeah. So, could Chase Litton be that or a whole lot better? Yeah, he's got the makeup for it. He's mm-hmm. got, like I said, he's got the size. He's got the production in the pass. He's got the arm. And certainly, looking at it yesterday, he was the cream of the crop. I mean, he mm-hmm. was definitely heads above the other quarterbacks that they've got here in camp and everything. Now, last year we were spoiled. We got to see Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So,
sure.
You got to grade.
We weren't watching the undrafted rookie quarterbacks last year. I couldn't tell you any of them were.
Yeah, you got to grade on a curve a little bit. But this is a kid that was generally considered the top undrafted quarterback, mm-hmm. and you can see that. I mean, there's going to be some rough spots, but could the Chiefs, carry him as a third quarterback or as a developmental quarterback on the practice squad? I mean, he's definitely a candidate for that. I mean, I think what you saw on day one, you got to like a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just clarify on Tyler Bray. I don't mean anything untoward about him. He had a reputation of not having the full playbook digested. But I can say it that way.
By his own admission. I mean, it wasn't until really, his fourth, fifth year that he really felt comfortable.
And sometimes that's the way it is with guys. But he's with the Bears now and still cashing checks and not getting hit. So that's the best job you can have in the NFL is if you can cash checks and not get hit. Chase Daniel is going to end up at the end of his career with $25 to $30 million in career earnings. having taken very few hits in the NFL, but being a good backup, being a guy you can rely on to throw in once. That's fine. That's, we should all aspire to make money in playing football and not getting hit. All right, we're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. Got a couple of minutes left here before we got to go. So final wrap-up here. You're going out to day two today at the Arrowhead Practice Facility. And then these guys can't come back till what, after Mother's Day? It's a while.
They're gone for I think after Mother's Day they can come back, and then they're back at just the phase. I can forget if it's phase one or phase two at that point. I think it's phase two, where they can still work and everything like that, but they're not doing practice and everything like that. It doesn't kick in until OTAs.
And they're not, the coaches are not allowed to instruct them to go practice on their own. That by the collective bargaining agreement, you can't say, you guys, this, you wide receiver group, you quarterback group, you guys have to get together over at Rockers High School and work out. But they're going to have to do it on their own.
And they will.
They're going to have to do it.
Will.
They better be exchanging messages, and they better be working out even when they can't be at the practice facility.
Yeah, they definitely will. I mean, you know, and this group has definitely shown the willingness to do that. They did it during the offseason, especially the offense with Patrick Mahomes and the receivers. They're going to be doing that.
Well, I appreciate you coming in on a Sunday, day after Cinco de Mayo. Hopefully you had a good time yesterday. For all the latest on Chiefs rookie camp and all the other Chiefs news as well, go to ChiefsDigest.com. Great website. Matt Derrick's a great guy. Like I said, we worked together before and created a great niche for himself and his own spot. Which is what we should aspire to do. Quarterbacks not getting hit, media people being their own boss, which is
find your own niche.
Yes, exactly. Matt Derrick, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Always good seeing you, Brad.
All right, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville will join us. We'll talk Kentucky Derby and the events that surround the Derby. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Sunday. Jed Marshall is producing, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.